You're listening to a throwback episode of Bound by Books, originally broadcast on April 20th, 2015.
Listeners, you're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, ACRA, Catskill, and Hudson. Listener supported, hands on radio for Green and Columbia counties. I'm Antonia. I'm 15 and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Emily. I'm also from Hudson. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library.
Yay! So, Emily and myself, and Ingrid, who might be coming soon, maybe.
Maybe.
And then sometimes other people, well, we're all here every Monday from 3:30 to 4 p.m. talking about books. Books we love, books we're currently reading, all that good stuff. And sometimes poems. Because it's National Poetry Month. Yay! Ooh. April! Because that's why it's raining today in April, because you can just sit inside and read poems all day. Oh, look! And Emily's handing me poems.
I found one.
And it's about rain! And
how appropriate.
And it's also fitting because Ingrid, our friend, just came back from Ohio, and this poem is called Rain in Ohio. I don't know if it rained there or not.
Perhaps.
The robin cries rain, the crow calls plunder.
Plunder!
The black snake climbing in the vines halts, his long ladder of muscle. Okay. While the thunderheads whirl up out of the white west, their dark hooves nicking the tall trees as they come. Rain, 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 sings the robin frantically, then flies for cover. The crow hunches, the black snake pours himself swift and heavy into the ground. There was worms outside today.
Oh yeah?
I like it when worms come up from the rain, because then, like, they're on the sidewalk and it's sad and you can put them in the grass and feel like a good person. Also, like, when you look at grass, you're never like, oh wow, there must be so many worms under there, but then it rains and, like, there's all these worms.
Where did
y'all come from? It's pretty great.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what else are great? Sloths.
True.
And I have a poem about sloths here.
Oh, I thought that was just random.
No, I literally do. It's by Theodore Rothke. R-O-E-T-H-K-E. Okay, well, it's called The Sloth. In moving slow, he has no peer. You ask him something in his ear. He thinks about it for a year. And then, before he says a word, they're upside down, unlike a bird. He will assume that you have heard. A most exasperating lug. But should you call him his manner smug, he'll sigh and give his branch a hug.
Aww.
Then off again to sleep he goes, still swaying gently by his toes. And you just know he knows, he knows. This is a climbing, and it was about a sloth.
They're very charming.
I really like rhyming poems.
Oh, I meant the sloth.
But sloths are very charming, too.
Yeah.
But I really like rhyming poems because, especially well-done ones, because whenever I write poems, I end up making them rhyme, and then I feel like they aren't that good because they don't seem, like, serious. They seem very childish. But this was clearly not a childish poem, and it was rhyming, so thank you, Theodore, for making a nice poem.
Theodore.
Do you have any poems, Emily?
I have another animal poem. It's called Dog.
Dog?
Yes. It's by Naomi Shihab Nye. The sky is the belly of a large dog sleeping. All day the small gray flag of his ear is lowered and raised. The dream he dreams has no beginning. Here on earth we dream a deep-eyed dog sleeps under our stairs and will rise to meet us. Dogs curl in dark places, nests of rich leaves. We want to bury ourselves in someone else's home. The dog who floats over us has no master. If there were people who loved him, he remembers them equally. The one who smelled like smoke, the one who brought bones from the restaurant. It is the long fence of their hoping he would stay that he has jumped.
That was so nice. I don't like dogs, I like cats, but it was still a nice poem.
The sky is the belly of a large cat sleeping. You've changed the words.
That's so nice. Well, I also have a poem about dogs.
Oh, fun.
Because dogs are great. This one is called The Dog of Art by Denise Levrotov. That dog with daisies for eyes, who flashes forth flame of his very self at every bark, is the dog of art. Worked in wool, his blind eyes look inward to caverns and jewels, which they see perfectly, and his voice measures forth the treasure in music sharp and loud, sharp and bright, bright flaming barks and growling smoky soft. The dog of art turns to the world the quietness of his eyes. So cute. But his eyes are daisies. Did you know that the scientific name for daffodil is Narcissus, and it comes from the Greek god Narcissus, who is the reason we have the word narcissism? Because one day he went and he was like, this guy showed him a pool, and in the pool he saw his reflection, and he fell in love, and he would never leave the pool because he thought it was so beautiful, but it was himself. And that's where the word narcissism comes from, and also the scientific name for daffodils.
Why do you think the daffodil is named that?
Because they're yellow and they're all like, oh, look at me, I'm yellow, wow.
Sometimes there are other colors, so cool. Too.
Yeah, but those ones are bad.
But they're mostly yellow.
The white ones are pretty,
most
too.
Most often.
Yes. Yes.
Fun My mom fact, has, like, guys. Hundreds of kinds of daffodils.
Oh, whoa.
It's kind of wild.
I really like daffodils. They're beautiful.
Yay.
I don't
they're
know
coming
why
up.
That's their name. I know. Yay.
One day last week, I went to work, and there was one daffodil. And then by the time I left work, there were three.
Whoa.
I was like, nice.
If you had sat there and watched them for, like, the whole day, you could have seen them coming.
So I don't know if it works that way.
No, it doesn't.
That's like watching a pot boiling water.
Yeah. They're like the dolls. They only move when you're not there, when you're not looking at them.
There's a children's book I just heard about that's something like, I don't like koala. And it's about a kid who gets a koala stuffed animal that he it doesn't really like and is kind of scared of. And somehow it keeps showing up in his room. And I read a review of the book that was wondering if, you know, is it magic? Like, is the thing actually moving? Or is it just that the parents are doing it? We may
so
never
weird.
Know, but I want to read the book.
I do too. That sounds great. Koalas are so cool. I love koalas. How would you... This kid, like, hook me up, man. I'll get your koala out of your room because I like koalas. They're so cute.
This was a stuffed animal koala.
I don't care. Even. Stuffed animal koalas are cute too. It's always been my dream to go to Australia, not because it sounds cool or anything, because they have koalas. But... You know what else is cool? Ingrid.
Our co-host. She's here.
Baby. Yes, welcome. How are you today?
Very wet. It's wet outside.
It is wet outside. Oh, look, do you want to read a fun poem about how wet it is outside?
Yeah, sure. There is rain in me. There is rain in me, running down, trickling away from memory. There is an ocean in me, swaying, swaying, oh so deep, so fathomlessly black, and spurting suddenly, snow white, like the snow leopards, rearing high and clawing with rage at the cliffs of the soul, then disappearing black with a hiss of eternal salt rage, angry as old ocean within a man.
That was so nice.
Thank you.
You know what rain rains on?
People.
Pretty much everything. But it also rains on grass. And I have a poem about grass. Well, it's called From Leaves of Grass. And it's by Walt Whitman. Not mm-hmm. Walter White. Walt Whitman.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I like totally white person.
Totally. You never know, though. Maybe that's his secret name. Anyway. From Leaves of Grass. It's like from the poem Leaves of Grass, I'm assuming. Anyway. Mm-hmm. The words of the true poems give you more than poems. They give you to form for yourself poems. Religions, politics, war, peace, behavior, histories, essays, daily life, and everything else. They balance ranks, colors, races, creeds, and the sexes. They do not seek beauty. They are sought. Forever touching them or close upon them follows beauty, longing. Vain love sick. They prepare for death, yet they are not the finish, but rather the outset. They bring none to his or her terminus, or to be content and full. Whom they take into space to behold the birth of stars, to learn one of the meanings, to launch off with absolute faith, to sweep through the ceaseless rings and never be quiet again. I have no idea what that has to do with grass. But it was a very nice poem.
Are we just reading these little poems today?
Kind of. They're super great.
Yes, they are.
These are all from a book, Poem in Your Pocket for Young Poets, 100 Poems to Rip Out and Read, published in conjunction with the Academy of American Poets and selected by Bruno Novaski.
And it's awesome. Your pocket.
Yeah, they're short little poems, and you can tear them out. Here, look.
Wow!
Did you hear it?
She demonstrated.
She tore that page right out.
So destructive, Emily. As a librarian, you must be cringing.
I have a copy of this book at the library that has a note on it that says, please do not tear out the poems. We will make copies for you. Oh. But then this is the copy that's meant for tearing out.
Ah, very nice.
Because it's mine.
You should pin them around your room, Emily.
Perhaps.
That would be cool.
It could make a cool teenage-y looking room. Because teenage poems.
Uh-huh.
For young poets.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
And perhaps one could lay around your outlet, and that would give me a segue to say I'm going to read this poem called The Outlet. My river runs to thee, blue sea, wilt welcome me? My river waits reply, O sea, look graciously, I'll fetch thee brooks from spotted nooks, say sea, take me.
That was so nice.
Thank you.
Happy. Emily has a poem and she's like holding it like, I want to read this poem.
I was just reading it. Which one should I read? I've got two poems about crumbs, one about tomatoes and one about sleeping.
Ah.
Which would you like to hear?
Crumbs.
Crumb poems. I like finding poems that connect. Like we had the plum poems, the dog poems. These are crumb poems.
Well, I had one that connected to the grass poem, but somebody interrupted me. Whatever.
Yeah. And these both have one-word titles, and neither of them are crumb.
Wow.
So this one's called Luck, and it's by Langston Hughes.
Ooh.
Sometimes a crumb falls from the tables of joy. Sometimes a bone is flung. To some people, love is given. To others, only heaven.
That's so nice. So
it's not really about a crumb, but you know what I mean. And then... we have Solitude by Charles Simic. There now, where the first crumb falls from the table. You think no one hears it as it hits the floor. But somewhere already, the ants are putting on their Quaker's hats and setting out to visit you.
True. My mom would like that poem because every time I drop a crumb on the floor, she's like, somewhere the ants are coming for you.
They can smell it.
Blah, blah, blah. Well, you know what crumbs sometimes come from? Crackers. And you know what you put on crackers? Cheese. And I have a poem called The Wild Cheese. And it's great.
Good connection.
It's called The Wild Cheese by James Tate. a head of cheese raised by wolves or mushrooms recently rolled into the village. It could neither talk nor walk upright. Small snarling boys ran circles around it, and just as they began throwing stones, the mayor appeared and dispersed them. He took the poor, ignorant head of cheese home, and his wife scrubbed it all afternoon before cutting it with a knife and serving it after dinner. The guests were delighted and exclaimed far into the night, "That certainly was a wild cheese!" I'm so confused.
You know what cheese is?
What?
Food.
Yeah.
And you know what animal likes food?
What?
All elephants.
Ella Telephony. Once there was an elephant who tried to use the telephone. No, I mean the elephone who tried to use the telephone. Dear me, I am not certain quite that even now I've got it right. However, it was, he got his trunk entangled in the telefunk. The more he tried to get it free, the louder buzzed the telefee. I fear I'd better drop the song of elephop and telethong. Telephone on me.
Elephants.
They never forget. Except how to say the word telephone.
Telephone. Elephone. Well, you know what?
What?
I read this poem about grass earlier,
mm-hmm.
and it was called From Leaves of Grass, only it was called Leaves of Grass, and it was just a part from it. But I have a friend who really likes writing poems, and she's, like, super into it, and she's always like, oh, I like writing poems. Aw. And she wrote a poem called Blade of Grass, and she's kind of, like, famous within our group for this poem, because, like, she wrote it in, Natalia. She wrote it in seventh grade, and we still, like, reference it daily because it's such a wonderful poem and everybody loves it, and it's great, and it's also really sad, but, okay, it's called Blade of Grass by Natalia. Oh, blade of grass, right near my face, what is your purpose in life? There's no purpose for that small blade of grass, so tiny and green. Others just like you stretch out behind you in a sea of green. If you are plucked or picked or trodden or chopped right in half, no one will notice. You'll just be replaced by a blade of better build. Alliteration. Why must there be a purpose in all of our lives? After all your relatives are dead, you'll just be forgotten. You'll just be replaced by someone else, better and much more evolved. We are all like that one blade of grass. Billions of others just like us. Yet we choose to believe that when we die, it's the end. Eventually, no one will know or care the person that you called me. Thanks, Natalia. Yes. So, that's... She has many more poems, too, that's but cool. That's her, like...
That's her classic?
Yeah.
The one she's known for?
Yeah. She really is.
Nice.
Yeah. It's pretty great. Yeah. Grass Man. And she really likes grass. She talks about it, like... What are the kids up to these days? Talking about grass.
Mm-hmm.
There's grass outside now because it's green and it's spring and it's raining. And you know what the rain is doing? It's bringing the grass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it looks a lot nicer out than it did a month ago.
It does. Unless you really like the look of snow and
mud.
Dirt. Yeah.
I like this look.
Me too.
It's beautiful.
Hmm.
So, you've been reading something that's not quite poetry, or
but
is
it's
it?
It's poetic.
I think of it as poetry, even though it's
well, I was
not
reading
a poem.
Other poems in the back of the book that this poem is from that isn't really a poem. Okay, I was reading The Twelfth Night by Shakespeare, and it's because I got a book of, like, his complete works, and I didn't want to read, like, something really, like, that he's really well known for, you know, like Romeo and Juliet.
Because she's not a mainstream chick.
Yeah. I'm too hipster for that. So, but I also didn't want to read something, like, really obscure, because that's not even... Yeah, so I read The Twelfth Night.
She can't even.
And I didn't read... I haven't finished it yet, but, you know, I'm making progress steadily. And, basically, it is a play by William Shakespeare, and there is a boat, and someone falls off of it, and there is also a clown. Yes, and I know there's a clown because the character's name is Clown. So every time he talks, it's like, lady this person, clown, senorita Badumba, except for it's not Spanish. Anyway.
Yeah. And her name's probably not Badumba.
Yes.
Although that would be interesting.
Yeah. It's very good, actually. Even, like, when I'm reading it, I get what's going on, but it's kind of hard to put into words. It's not a confusing story. It's just, it's difficult to read, but not like, really hard. I like reading it out loud, because then it makes it easier.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of jumping between scenes, and so I'm not entirely sure what's happening, but I think there's someone who wants to get married. And also...
Whoa.
Oh, and the...
It's kind of a big step.
I know, right?
Want to get married?
Yes. And the clown is very witty, though. He's really smart. Like, the lady, one thing that he says is... the lady's like, oh, please leave, you fool. And the fool's like, I am a fool, but I am not a fool. And she's like, oh, really? Prove it, then. And he's like, okay, why are you sad? And she's like, I am mourning for my dead brother. And he's like, oh, he's probably in hell. And she's like, no, he's definitely in heaven. And he's like, then why are you sad for him? So, like, good one, fool. I don't know. It's
fooled you.
Stuff like that, yeah. I've noticed there seems to be a lot of people, like, wanting to get married and then having issues with that, like, throughout Shakespeare. That seems to be a common theme.
Marriage?
Unheard of.
Yeah. I don't know.
It'll never work.
But we watched a play in school recently. We watched a production of Hamlet.
By Shakespeare and Co.
Yeah. And Hamlet was hot.
Quite nice looking.
But it was, yeah, very. It was really good, though. I think it's a lot easier to understand when you watch it in, like, play form mm-hmm. than just reading it. I don't know, I don't.
Still kind of hard to understand it like that.
I got it pretty well.
I know, yeah, me too, but, like, it's like, now he's inching across the stage on his butt.
Yeah, that was cool.
The important things.
Yeah.
Right on time for that train.
For sure. I mean, I don't like, read plays a lot in general, so, like, I find them a little hard to follow, just because, like, it's only dialogue, and then some, like, this person walks off the stage. I don't know. But, so I think that, on top of it, makes it more difficult.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
I think it's really, like, how, like, long times ago, that's how they used to write things.
Yeah.
Instead of, like, describing... Then she walked away, pouting like a biscuit.
So poetic.
So poetic. So nice.
I'm Shakespeare. This train is pretty loud, y'all. Can you hear it? It's like, ooh.
Mm-hmm. Coming through.
Coming through.
Well, we're going to be handing it off to the afternoon show shortly.
Yeah, maybe by the time the train is passed.
But
yeah,
we have a lot of exciting stuff coming up.
We do.
We have the book fest soon.
Sweet. Yes.
Coming up in, I guess, almost.
But I have just an invitational on that day.
Boo.
A what?
Invitational.
Sports stuff.
For ew. Track.
Sports. What? Okay.
Next year I'm signing you up instead of myself.
Good one. Okay. Okay. You do that.
You're
not going to come to any of the things.
I will drag you there by your ears.
Did you know that our ear muscles are useless?
Yes, I learned that today.
Yeah, me too.
Whoa, learning buddies.
We're not even in the same grade. How is this happening? Oh, well.
I'm the superior one.
Whatever. You're so cool.
Maybe someday we will find a use for them.
That would be great.
Earphone. And it only reacts to the way you move your ears.
Yes. Or I you can be cool in school. That's a use for them. Because you can be like, look, I can move my ears. And everyone's like, wow, can't do it. I know, me neither. Can you move your ears?
Radio listener?
Try it out.
Right now, we can wait.
All right, well, we're going to hand off the afternoon show, but we're going to leave you with a song from a Bollywood adaptation of Hamlet.
Woo!
Because that's topical.
Hamlet.
And we like being topical.
Topical, topical.
But we hope you have a great week and
happy reading.
मौत चुभी थी।